Yeah, Pastor Steve said wanted to start things off right. I said, preach the other man then. So first, but it's good to be here. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Good to be able to stand and to preach this morning. This morning, I want to give you three keys to having joy in ministry. So if you've got a copy of God's Word, turn over to John chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 26 through 30 this morning. John chapter 3, verses 26 through 30. The Bible says, "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." As our text opens this morning, we find that John's disciples are coming to him with an attendance report. They say, "Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." Now, this would have been an exaggeration because we know that all men did not come to Christ. Many rejected him, and those who came did not follow through. So we see that these disciples are doing what all good Baptists do. They inflated the numbers. You've never inflated the numbers, have you? Someone says, "How many did you have at the meeting?" And you say, "Well, probably about 200. When you know, in all reality, it was only about 125 or at best 150. The reason that we do that is because of our pride. We want to be successful in ministry, and we equate numbers to success. But here we have one of the most successful lives ever lived and one of the most successful ministries ever happened on the face of the earth, and the numbers are beginning to drop. You know, John could have become jealous. He could have began to look around and compare and become prideful. And that pride could have lifted him up to where he'd say, "I've got to go work harder to boost my ministry." He could have said, "Well, that other guy, he's doing it all wrong. His numbers might be rising, but I'm doing everything right." He could have complained. He could have griped. But instead of complaining and griping, he was content, knowing that this ministry that he had was not a right, but it was a privilege. Apart from Christ, he was just a sinner. But with him, he was a sinner saved by grace. That grace of God saved him, and it called him to serve in the ministry that God had put him into. He had the same attitude as the Apostle Paul that said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious." But listen to this. He said, "But I obtained mercy, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly above, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." What did he have to boast in but the sovereign grace of God that called him into the ministry of God? Friend, we don't have anything to boast in this morning but the grace of God. It's not in anything that we have done, because apart from Christ, we're just sinners. Some of us were former drunkards. Some of us were former adulterers and drug addicts. But God, through His grace, has called us unto salvation and called us into service to the Lord. We have nothing to boast in, men and women, as we minister for the Lord. We have nothing to boast in ourselves. It's not about our greatness, but it is about Him this morning. He has put you there where you minister. Preachers, men, He has placed you in that church that he has you in. He has gifted you with the gifts that he has given you. It is nothing about ourselves. So instead of looking around and comparing our ministries with other ministries, let us look up and say, thank you, God, for allowing me to serve and to minister the Lamb of God this morning. Oh, to have joy in your ministry. Stop the comparison. Secondly, to have joy in our ministry, we must stay in communion. John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. You know, John compares himself to the best man of a wedding. And he says, where I find my joy is in the voice of the groom. You know, there may be times that the numbers are not there. There may be times that the amens are not there, but the joy can remain. Why? Because we hear the voice of the groom. We're in communion with him. You know, I remember when Jesus made a visit to the house of Martha. Martha was going around and she was working, she was ministering, she was moving at breakneck speed. And as she was moving about the house, Mary caught her eye. There she was at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I'm sure that Martha began to go and do other things. She was going back and forth, making sure that her people that were there, that she was going to serve them. And she come back and made a few more passes, and still Mary was there. I wonder if she thought, here I am, working and serving and doing, and yet here's Mary, not lifting a finger. She went and done a few more things, and she came back. This time her frustration had rose to the level to where she had to say something. And she looked at Jesus and she said, Lord, do you not care? Lord, do you not care that I'm over here and I'm serving and I'm ministering, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and yet Mary is not doing anything? Jesus answered and he said, Martha, Martha. You know, I wonder if he had to say her name twice to get her to slow down enough to speak to her. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You ever heard that old saying? It says, my head's like a stump full of granddaddies. You know, a lot of times my head's like a stump full of granddaddies. I've got this I have to do. I've got that I have to do. And there's one thing I know about pastors. They're busy. You get up in the morning and you say, well, I need to finish that message. I need to go and visit that shut-in. I need to go by the hospital. I need to go by the nursing home. I need to call that church member and check in on them. I need to check on and see how the outreach is going. I need to reach out to the Sunday school superintendent. I need to go to the deacons meeting. I need to go to the budget and finance committee meeting. I need, I need, I need. But Jesus said, one thing is needful, Martha. And Mary has chosen that, and it will not be taken away from her. He said, one thing is needful. Church, one thing is needful. It's to get along with the Lord. Notice that Jesus didn't rebuke Martha. He didn't say, Martha, you shouldn't go and serve and do this or do that. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that those things weren't important. He says, don't miss the most important things by doing the important things that are over here on the side. He says, don't allow ministry to stand between you and me. You know, we can commune with the Lord in the midst of our work, can't we? We can commune in the kitchen. But a lot of times I'm afraid that we're so busy that we're not communing. We're simply cumbered. Vance Havner said, our sole business is to live in constant abiding fellowship with Christ. If we become more interested in what we are doing for Christ than in what He is doing for us, we have reversed things and we shall end up as did Martha, cumbered instead of communing.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times we are so busy.
Yes, sir.
We get so tired and we get so worn out. Why? Because we're not communing with the Lord. We're not spending time with Him. We're not meditating with Him. Don't get so busy in ministry that you fail to meditate. Let us do as David, who said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord." You know, when we get at the feet of Jesus, we see who He really is.
Amen.
We see that He is majestic. We see His majesty. We see His mercy. We see His grace, His love, and His holiness. But you know, we also see us. When we get at the feet of Jesus, He gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And when He gets bigger and bigger and bigger, then we should get smaller and smaller and smaller. And we should say, as John, that He must increase and I must decrease.
Amen.
You see, John knew, he understood his place. He understood that he was not the Christ. A lot of times I get these things reversed. A lot of times I increase and He decreases. A lot of times it's about my ambition, my hopes, my goals, my dreams. And it becomes about me instead of Him. Friends, it's all about Him this morning. I am not the Christ. He is. He is the precious Lamb of God who came down to this earth. Yet He is above all. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the one that I must bow my knee to. He's the one that I must submit myself unto. I must submit my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions, my life, my ministry, my home unto Him so that He might gain the glory. I must get small so that He might get big. I must decrease and He must increase. Oh, this morning, oh, if He would just increase in our lives. If we would submit to Him, get along with Him, say, "God, this is not about me."
Amen.
A lot of times we get puffed up. A lot of times we allow ego to stand in our way. Oh, this morning it's about Him.
Amen.
It's about Him. That's where the joy comes in at. That's where the joy comes in at. It's when we stop the comparison. When we stop looking around at the other ministries and saying, "God, I wished I had this," or "I wish that I had that. I wished I could preach here," or "I wish that I could preach there," or "I wished I could preach like that other one." Oh, no. Instead of looking around, look up. Say, "Thank you, God. Thank you that you called a sinner like me. Thank you, allow me to minister and to serve you where you have called me to." We must stop the comparison, but then also we must stay in communion. Don't allow ministry to get between you and the Master. As you serve, make sure that you have time to meditate with Him and to see Him for who He is. To behold, as David said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. To see His majesty, to see His glory, to see His grace, to see His mercy. And then finally, submit unto Christ. Allow Him to have everything so that He in all things might be everything.
Amen.
Our desire in ministry is not at the end of the way to say, "Oh, what a servant Brian Curley was." No, it's to say, "Oh, what a Savior Brian Curley has."
Amen.
It's all about Him this morning. That's the message of my heart, brother.